Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be guided and strengthened by your Spirit, that we may understand your ways more clearly. Amen. Advent is a very interesting start to the church's year. It starts right in the middle of things. Not much talk about creation, not much talk about beginnings. It starts with trouble, it starts with difficulty, it starts with signs of something new coming in the heavens. The portents are there. What these portents may be is very unclear. And it's spoken about in such general language that virtually every age is able to find, you know, good examples of the portents for themselves and say, oh, maybe it's coming now. It is interesting how often the end of the world or the judgment, the last judgment, has been predicted unsuccessfully by people studying the scripture. And I think it's because of this very general nature of these signs. The signs are in the heavens, the signs are connected with weather, the signs are connected with all sorts of things. And of course, it's connected also with injustice on the earth. That it is the injustice of the earth which leads to these times of breaking and shaking that are spoken about. It is in this context that Jesus uses his parable of the fig tree for the signs of the times. The fig tree regularly produces figs. And when you see the shoot coming, you know that, that summer is near. That's what Jesus says. It means that we understand something fairly clearly from outward signs. But what we don't understand is the signs that affect us more personally, the signs that affect whole societies and whole nations. These signs are a little more obscure, a little bit less clear to us, and we don't think of them in the same way at all. So the regular changes of the seasons are fine, but the massive changes of war, conflicts, and pandemic are not. We think of them differently. And it's interesting to me that Jesus says, hey, wait a minute, you're wrong. It is all part of the way that God has made the world, and it's only our own short-sightedness or blindness which stops us from seeing that. Now, this is the challenge for us as Christians, to see more clearly, to discern the signs of the times. So Jesus is telling us that all change is from God, and that it is under somehow God's control, even if we have no idea what that control might be, where it's going, what it's doing, we don't know. But what we do know is that we are given the chance to trust in God and to walk more closely with God. I was quite interested in our study of Habakkuk to come across the verse which says that plagues and pandemics accompany the coming of God. Think on that for a minute. Plagues and pandemics accompany the coming of God. It is all part of the, if you like, the threat and the balancing of good and evil in the world somehow. We are not immortal. We do not run the show. We humans need to be humble. And arrogance does not last, as Habakkuk also says. So pandemics, I think, are a time for walking more closely with God. Not out of fear, because if we don't do it, we'll get hit with the virus or something like that. No, it's not as mechanical as that. But it is a sign that truth, justice, and love matter. It is a sign of caring for each other that counts. And I think that has been one of the lessons of the pandemic for us here in Victoria, that we have seen good results from people trying to care for each other across the society. Sure, there's a radical fringe that is rejecting all that. I do hope that they are a lonely voice, because I do think that many more people have found the need to reach out to each other and to recognise how we need each other. This is all part of how I think we need God. If you look at the other two Gospels' account of this same set of sayings by Jesus, the real take-home from them, Matthew and Mark, is that nobody knows when the day will come. They have it there. Nobody knows, not even the Son knows, only the Father knows when the day of the coming of God, the judgment day, will come. However, be alert and be ready for it. Well, you live in a state of heightened tension when you're told to be ready for something coming. And we've been living in that state of heightened tension for over 2,000 years now. So it's wearing a bit thin in some ways, at least in human terms. But I think that we need to accept the validity of the challenge to be ready for the coming of God, because God comes to us in small ways as well as in major and large ways. And it's the small ways that add up. What we can do each day in love for each other, what we can respond to in the needs of the neighbour. I think what we have learned is that the coming of God is in the needs of the neighbour as well as in overt judgment. And the needs of the neighbour are getting stronger, if anything, at the moment. The needs, it's just so obvious that we need more than we're getting. Luke also talks about being able to stand in the judgment of God and not be put to shame. This sense of how do you stand again in the coming of God? Because the coming of God is not as gentle as we like to think. It's not as me-centred as I think we're tempted to think. No, the coming of God is both in judgment and in grace and mercy, in redemptive love, but also in judgment. The truth of things matters. The truth of things is who we are. And that is what we struggle to know and also to live out. And this is, I think, the challenge of Christian faith. So the tension that we have from this apocalyptic text stays with us and should. Not as a prediction of the immediate future, I think, but as the permanent relationship between the eternal God and us mortals, that we as mortals do not live forever, that we do need to acknowledge that the wider world is God's world, and that we are called to be faithful to God's ways within God's world at all times, good times and in bad. So what is the real message of the first Sunday of Advent? I think the real message is simply that God is here and God is near. God is here all the time, everywhere, we know, intellectually. But we don't feel it all the time, do we? And it's that feeling of the nearness of God which we, I think, should genuinely strive for. We should be open to the reality of God in all things. And this is really an openness to love. An openness to love the neighbour. An openness to love our enemies. An openness to care for the creation. An openness to care for the healing of the nations. To overcoming the injustice and oppression of the past. Through truth-telling, I would say, through hearing the voice of the other in a genuine way. When we do that, something new comes into the world, which is the possibility of healing in long-standing, broken relationships. So that's the promise of the coming of God, the promise of genuine healing of broken relationships, and the promise of, in a way, forgiveness for all of us for our shortcomings, our short-sightedness, and our lack of love. The challenge is there. The coming of God is near. The kingdom of God is at hand. Even today, the kingdom of God is at hand. And this is the preaching of Jesus. Still true today, 2,000 years later. Let us pray. Lord God, help us always to recognize your nearness and to turn to you in all things, to seek your healing for ourselves, our community and our nations, to seek healing for your world and true justice to pour down like rivers. Lord, we thank you and we praise your name. Amen.